From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. The first week of the 2019 state legislative session is in the books, and things are already off to a fast start. We'll talk about the most important things that happened this past week at the state capitol, what you need to know, and what you can expect moving forward. Plus, we'll talk about one very special, significant, and groundbreaking pro-life bill that has been introduced in our state legislature to not only protect unborn children, but women too. It's something that everyone should be getting behind in order to make our state a safer and better place for children while showing respect for the dignity of every single human life. Things officially kicked off in the state legislature last Wednesday was day one of this 90-day session. 13 new members and 13 re-elected senators were sworn into office, and lawmakers then elected chairpersons for the legislature's 14 standing committees on day one. And there was a lot of change with 13 brand new state senators, new committee chairs. But I'll say this, as much as things change, as much they stay the same. First, Norfolk Senator Jim Scheer was re-elected Speaker of the Legislature in an uncontested race. Senator Scheer has served as Speaker of the Legislature a very crucial role, getting to set the agenda each day for the entire legislature. He served in that capacity for the last 2 years and will do so for the next two. In disappointing but unsurprising fashion, the Judiciary Committee, arguably the most important committee as it gets by far the highest number of bills assigned to that committee, and including all of the most controversial issues and certainly the bills that impact family, freedom, and life. That committee is as liberal and progressive as ever. There are eight senators sit on the Judiciary Committee, and the way things have broken down this session, there are six Democrats out of the eight and only two Republicans, one being Tom Brandt, who is newly elected and is probably better described as a moderate Republican. And the second Republican on the committee is newly appointed Senator Julie Slama, who is a first-year senator and has a tough assignment there. But outside of that committee, it was a pretty mixed bag. Both conservative and liberal senators were elected by their peers to serve as chairs on different committees. Lawmakers chose conservative state senator Mike Hilgers of Lincoln to serve over Kate Bowles as chair of the executive board, which oversees legislative services and employees. Senator Lou Ann Linehan of Elkhorn defeated Omaha state senator Brett Lindstrom in a race to lead the revenue committee. And in a highly anticipated matchup, conservative state senator Mike Groney of North Platte will remain chairperson of the very important Education Committee after defeating a challenge from Omaha state senator Rick Kalowski. However, in another close race, it was the Democrat state senator Matt Hansen who unseated Republican Senator Joni Albright to lead the Business and Labor Committee. And lastly, finishing up with a number of uncontested races, Hastings State Senator Steve Hollerin will lead the Agriculture Committee. Senator Matt Williams of Gothenburg will lead Banking. Senator Tom Brewer will be in charge of the Government, Military, and Veteran Affairs Committee. Senator Sarah Howard of Omaha will chair Health and Human Services. And Omaha Senator Steve Lathrop will chair the Judiciary Committee. Now, it's important to point out, as we've talked about previously on the show, that all of these races for chair positions that are very important that we just talked about, those were all done in the legislature by a secret vote. There's no record or public knowledge of who voted for who in these very important races. So the first thing that happens on day one is all of the new and appointed state senators get sworn into office, and then they vote for leadership positions. And after campaigning quite frequently on providing greater honesty and transparency in government, their first action as state senators is clouded in secrecy. and taking these influential and important votes that constituents care like they should a lot about. Voting for chairmanships and speaker is one of, if not the most, important votes that they will cast during their entire time in the legislature. And in all of these contested races, the difference between the two senators vying for that leadership position were night and day. And you can believe that a lot of those races would have turned out differently if those votes were not secret, but instead public, because they're very close votes. And senators would then be held accountable by their constituents for who they choose as chair. And again, the legislature can take secret votes. However, under the Nebraska Constitution, they also have to publish that vote in the journal and make it public if any member of the legislature requests that it not be secret and be entered into the journal. Both state senators and the public need to be reminded of this. This is a constitutional requirement for public votes. This is in the Nebraska Constitution, Article 3, Section 11, which says the legislature shall keep a journal of its proceedings and publish them, except such parts as may require secrecy. But then it goes on, and the yeas and nays of the members on any question shall at the desire of any one of them be entered on the journal. So there it is in plain English. The legislature has to keep a journal of its proceedings and publish them, except such votes that may require secrecy. So they can, under the Constitution, have secret votes. However, the yeas and nays, so a vote of the members of the legislature on any question, not on some questions or on particular questions that senators agree to, on any question at the desire of any one senator, then has to be entered into the journal, which has to be published and made public. That is what the Constitution says. That's what the Constitution requires. And the people of Nebraska would be better served if these crucial votes were not kept secret. And this is the way that it's been done traditionally, even though senators don't have to do it this way with the secret voting. They could make it public and publish it. But that's what I meant when I said that the more things change in the legislature, the more they stay the same. So once again, these chairmanship positions were done by a secret vote. And even though the majority in our state legislature is very Republican, once again, the crucially important Judiciary Committee will remain once again incredibly liberal and socially progressive. And adding to that list, State Senator Ernie Chambers already has introduced legislation to repeal the death penalty, to protect black-tailed prairie dogs, and to prohibit the hunting of mountain lions. Those are three bills that he has introduced time and time again, and they will be debated once again by our state senators in 2019. So get ready to keep hearing more about those bills in the news in the weeks and months ahead. Now, a couple of other bills of interest that I'll highlight here, and then one in particular that we really want to focus on that Nebraska Family Alliance is helping with and involved with, and I think it's something that a lot of people will be really excited about. But first, State Senator Steve Erdman introduced a bill last week, LB 73, that would require the display of the national motto "In God We Trust" in public schools. And this is going to lead to a fascinating discussion and debate in the legislature. The language in the bill says that each school board shall prominently display the national motto of the United States, "In God We Trust," in this each school building, where each student shall be able to see and read it each day school is in session. This will inevitably lead to intense debate about separation of church and state and what that means, and not establishing a religion and what that means. But again, the angle here is that this is our national motto. This is the national motto of the United States. And I think people forget that. In God we trust. That is our national motto. And that is something that shouldn't be kept out of any school, whether it's public or private. Now, how much would this impact students or make a difference in what's happening in schools and what we're teaching? the next generation about our country and about the values that our nation was built on? I'm not sure, but it is certainly at least a step in the right direction in terms of getting God back into public schools. That is LB 73, introduced by State Senator Steve Erdman. And adding to that list of contentious debate is LB 110 from State Senator Anna Wishart. She has reintroduced her bill to legalize medical marijuana. There has already been a committee formed to place the issue of legalizing medical marijuana on the 2020 ballot in Nebraska for Nebraska voters to approve. And so they have introduced this bill to see if state senators will approve it or if it will go to the ballot. And so this will be one that unquestionably will be a huge item and issue this year in the state legislature and will get substantial debate. And this is something that the state legislature has rejected multiple times in years past, but that was strategic to already form a committee and have a plan of action to place medical marijuana on the ballot, because now there's that added pressure that if the state legislature doesn't approve it and doesn't craft their own bill with the restrictions and regulation and certain language that they want, then it is up to the voters and how the question is crafted on the ballot, which could look very, very different than what state senators could approve. And so I think something that people will have to look out for this year and be aware of is that state senators who previously had voted no on this legislation might be coming around or taking a different approach or more willing to vote yes because they don't want it to go to the ballot. One, if it goes to the ballot, it will be much, much broader than the bill that has been introduced, and there won't be as many safeguards. That is a big concern for a lot of state senators, and it also is a huge driver, marijuana, for voter turnout, particularly for Democrat voters and liberal voters. And so that is something that that I know a lot of Republican senators who have been opposed to medical marijuana are certainly taking into consideration as well. So the question that really might determine this bill isn't whether or not senators believe that medical marijuana should or should not be legal. It might come down to, do they think if it gets on the ballot, it will be approved or shot down by voters? And if they think that voters will approve it, then they might decide that the best scenario, if medical marijuana is going to be legalized, is for them to approve a bill that is narrower with stricter oversight and better regulations. But that is all to be determined. That is just one of the many issues that state senators will be debating and considering. Already hundreds of bills have been introduced just in the first 3 days alone, including the main bill that I want to talk about today. This is a groundbreaking, innovative new bill introduced in Nebraska for the first time ever that is not only pro-life, but pro-woman, pro-information, pro-science, and pro-choice. And I'll get to that in a moment. This is a bill about abortion pill reversal and giving women real choice to make a truly informed decision. Over half of all abortions in Nebraska today are what is referred to as a medication abortion, which is an abortion caused by the RU486 pill or the abortion pill. And this is prescribed by a doctor within the first 10 weeks of a pregnancy, and it begins with one of two pills that are taken, the first being a progesterone blocker. And because the mother's body is then artificially deprived of progesterone by the abortion pill, her uterine lining breaks down, causing the baby to detach from the uterus and die because of lack of nourishment. However, thanks to new evidence-based science, it is possible to greatly increase the chance that a woman can save her baby after taking the abortion pill if she begins a standardized abortion pill reversal protocol known as abortion pill reversal. If within 2 or 3 days after the mother takes the first abortion pill and she does not take the second pill in the medication abortion process and instead receives doses of natural progesterone, her progesterone levels can be elevated back to normal pregnancy levels and she can save the baby. And listen to this, using the best protocols, the success rate for saving the baby and bringing the child to term is nearly 70% compared to only 25% when they take the first abortion pill alone and do nothing else. So this substantially and significantly and safely increases the likelihood that a child can save a medical abortion if the abortion pill is reversed within 2 or 3 days. This is new information to a lot of people, and that's why this bill is so important to make sure that when a woman goes in to receive the abortion pill, that she truly knows all of her options and has all of the information necessary to make a truly informed decision and give her real choice. That's what this bill is about. And research shows that the abortion pill reversal is perfectly safe and healthy for both the mother and the babies who have been saved by abortion pill reversal. There is no sign or any indication that there is any chance of increased risk of birth defects or any health risk to, again, the mother or the baby. In fact, for nearly 60 years, medical professionals have used progesterone, again, a natural hormone which allows pregnant women to carry and to continue nourishing an unborn child, to prevent miscarriages and sustain healthy pregnancies. That's all that the abortion pill reversal is. It's replacing the progesterone blocker, the first pill in the abortion pill process, with increased doses of progesterone to get that nourishment back to the child so it can continue to live and have a chance at life. But beyond that, the abortion pill reversal process is not only safe for both the woman and her unborn child, but it offers a real chance for the woman to rescue her child when she has changed her mind about abortion, and it gives her the opportunity to spare herself the pain and regret of losing a wanted baby. And something that is so impactful about this bill is the stories that we have been hearing and getting to share about mothers who have gone through this process, who have started a medication abortion, changed their mind, gone through the abortion pill reversal, and saved their child, and now have healthy, beautiful children. It's incredible, and that is an option that everyone should have. This isn't forcing anyone to do anything other than to require that abortion providers, when they are giving women the abortion pill, that they include this in the information that they already have to provide. So this bill, what it does is it adds a new section to the existing informed consent statutory framework for abortion in Nebraska, simply requiring that when a woman goes in for an abortion, she will be giving all of the information that she needs to make a truly informed decision, including information about abortion pill reversal and how to help find help if she changes her mind. Informed consent is a staple of good medical practice in any procedure or protocol. A woman shouldn't have to find out later that she could have reversed the process if only she had known it was possible. Nebraska Family Alliance believes that every woman deserves to be given all of the information. That's what this bill is about. So it's not just a pro-life bill, although it is that. It's also pro-woman, pro-science, pro-information, and pro-choice. And Nebraska Family Alliance is proud to support legislation to better help protect both women and unborn children in Nebraska. And I think this bill is important because when this bill comes up for debate in the legislature, senators are going to have to decide if they are really pro-choice or pro-abortion. Because all this bill does is give people information about a legitimate choice that they have. But this information about the abortion pill reversal is being withheld. Abortion providers aren't just volunteering this information, and that's why this bill is necessary. And so I want to give a very special thank you to State Senator Joni Albright of District 17 for being the sponsor and introducer of this legislation. It's incredibly important. This is a conversation that we need to have. This information needs to be out there, and people need to know about it. And so I was glad also to get to be a part of a press conference in our state capitol rotunda on Friday after the bill was introduced. The bill already has over a dozen co-sponsors, and at the press conference, we got to share about what the bill does and why it matters and why it's necessary with other lawmakers and our friends from the Nebraska Catholic Conference and Nebraska Right to Life. And we were very fortunate to get to hear from Rebecca Buell, who is a mom who has been through the abortion pill reversal process and now has a healthy little boy with her. And it was so inspiring and uplifting getting to see her share her story and talk to Nebraska lawmakers about what this bill would do and why it's good for women in our state so that there is real choice and that choice can save a life. And you can get all of this information that I've talked about today about the abortion pill reversal process, about the bill. It's all available at our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Be sure you visit the homepage and you can read up on all of this information. And you can also learn how you can help support this bill by contacting your state senator. It's so important that our senators hear from their constituents and that they know you're paying attention and the issues that you care about. Again, it's all at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. And if you're not already, make sure you sign up for our e-network so that you can get all this information straight to your inbox, and also keeping you informed on what's happening at the state capitol so that you and your family can take action when it matters most. And lastly, we understand that not everyone can make it down to the state capitol to testify or to talk to senators or to pray. That's why Nebraska Family Alliance exists, to be a watchman on the wall, to keep citizens informed on what's taking place at our state capitol. But we have a great new advocacy tool that is completely free to keep you engaged, and it is called Capitol Link. Capitol Link is Nebraska Family Alliance's texting network, where we will text you our most urgent prayer requests and updates when critical votes are being taken, when NFA team members are testifying before committees, when we need people to take action and contact their elected representatives. You will get a text with the information sent straight to your phone so that you can be informed or be praying with us when we need it the most. And again, this is very limited, only for the most urgent and pressing matters. So we're not going to be blowing up your phone, but it's a great way to stay informed. And what we like to say is that being engaged starts with being informed. You can't make a difference if you don't know what's happening. So consider signing up for the Capitol Link. You can do so by, again, visiting our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Click on the Take Action tab or simply text PRAYNFA to 402-979-7729. That's text PRAYNFA, P-R-A-Y-N-F-A, to 402-979-7729. We'll be back next week with more information on what's been happening at the state capitol, the biggest bills, the most important issues, everything you need to know, and how it might affect you and your family. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance. Thanks for listening to your Capitol Connection.